Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, You Make It Happen.
God, thank you so much for the many stories of motherhood in our church family. We pray, God, that you would help us to be grateful, supportive, and empathetic. And helpful for the moms in our lives, and we pray that you would help us to express that to them. And now, God, as we open up the scriptures together, we pray that you would remind us of what it means to be part of your body. That you would help us to move beyond belief and into participation and into action. Father, we pray that you would not only help us to rejoice in your salvation, but that you would help us to take up your grace and join you as your partners. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, part four today, we're talking about making service happen. Service is something that is happening this very moment, I know, in the life of our church. There are people who are watching children right now. There are people that are at the Tellman's house building a ramp. There are good things happening every day in the life of our church family. And that's how God intended it to be. And the good things that happen get done because of you and me. And sometimes we say, well, you know, it's God that makes it happen. Yeah, but God is trying to make it happen through you and me. Our text that we've looked at in this series in chapter 4, I'd like to point you to verse 15 of Ephesians 4, where it says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. Sounds like a song I heard recently. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow, becoming in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love, we. Love requires a we, doesn't it? And a body requires all the parts of a body. And Christ is the head, and we as the body, learning to speak the truth in love, we grow stronger and more mature. Verse 16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by what? Every supporting ligament. Who's got a part? Everybody. By every supporting ligament, this body grows and builds what? Itself. Who is building the body? The body. You know, we get spiritual and say, well, God's building the body. Yes, and how is God doing that? Using the body to build the body, right? We build ourselves up in love when? As each of us does our part. Okay, I have a riddle for you. You love riddles, I can just tell. Oh, riddle me this, right? Okay, here's a riddle for you. What has about 1,000 hands and feet, sings hundreds of songs, meets hundreds of needs, reads thousands of pages of scripture, mows acres and acres of grass, prays millions of prayers, gives hundreds of thousands of dollars, makes thousands of personal contacts and visits, folds thousands of bulletins, drives dozens of kids to camp, provides dozens of teachers, child care attendants, youth sponsors, musicians, facilities volunteers, small group leaders, office helpers, and special event coordinators, and on and on and on. Every year, what is it that does that? The body of Christ, the church, could we get more specific? This church. There are thousands of hands and feet, millions of prayers, dozens of good things happening, hundreds and thousands of things happening in the life of not the church, this church. Valley Christian Church is a church that I long to see become more and more what God has in mind for it to be. And I think God is doing God's part. And I think God is calling me and you to keep doing ours. The church doesn't just happen because of God. The church happens because of those called by God. Did you know that there's no place on earth where God is not available? But there are plenty of places where there isn't a church. There are plenty of places where community isn't happening because the church is God's idea for what happens when His people begin to grow in love and build each other up and strengthen each other, every ligament doing its part. And so the reason I ask you this riddle about what is it that has all these things and does all these things is because I want to remind you this morning that Valley doesn't just happen. Valley happens because you and I seek God, draw upon His grace to make it happen. God's grace is not a magic wand that, boom, there's a church. God's grace, God's truth, God's power is available to each one of us that as we obey, as we reach, as we stretch, as we push, we draw upon God's grace. We draw upon what we learn from the Scriptures. We draw what we contribute to each other's lives. And slowly but surely, we build ourselves up in love, becoming in every respect the mature body that God has in mind. And it's very, very important because a mature body, a church that is actually functioning under the Lordship of Christ, that's not just a good idea. That is a self-serving, self-perpetuating arrangement. The more we do our part, the stronger we grow. The stronger we grow, the more people we have involved, the more we do, you see? And so it's really important that we dwell on this idea. The thread through this entire teaching series, which is purposely designed to make you sick of it by the time the series is over. And we're only halfway through, you might be sick of it already. But the idea is this. Church doesn't just happen. You know, these chairs don't just show up. Mortgage payments don't just magically get paid. The grass doesn't just magically get mowed. Somebody's making that happen. Somebody's with kids right now teaching. Somebody prepared Sunday school lessons earlier. Somebody's preparing the Celebrate the Word program for Wednesday. Who's making all that happen? You and me. We make it happen. And we should be relishing in it. And we should be investing ourselves in it. This is the real pastoral thing that's driving me into this series, is that I want you to realize that we have to take off our consumer mentality when it comes to church and say, church isn't just a place to go get blessed, it's a place to be a blessing. It's not just a place where we go and say, oh, I wonder what's happening. It's a place where we go and we make things happen. In our text for this morning, we're focusing in on just a few verses, specifically verse 12. I remind you, in verse 7 of chapter 4, Paul says, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, right? So grace is the foundation for all this. It's not just our creativity, our ingenuity, or our resources, even our commitment, even our effort. It's not just that. It's that drawing upon God's grace, walking in the truth and the way of Christ. But to who? Each one of us. You see? And I don't know what all the psychology or theology or sociology that's involved in this, but I think a lot of us, even believers, we don't wake up. Even on Sunday, you maybe didn't, maybe not all morning, maybe you haven't even thought, you know, I'm so grateful for the grace that Christ has apportioned to me. You know, we can do things. Any of you, can anybody do anything? Any of you out there? Anybody have things? Yeah, anybody care about things? Anybody have any talents? Any talents? Basic skills? We all have some sort of giftedness, some sort of background, some sort of story, some sort of ability. And as Christ has apportioned by his grace, each of us comes to church able to contribute. And I'm afraid that we have sort of a church shopping mentality in our country, you know? It's sort of like television shows or entertainment or things like that. Even those of it's just an overriding mentality that says, you know, church is a place I go for services rendered to me. You know? And so many times people come to church and they're like, well, what's that guy looking at? This donut's not that good. That preacher, I don't even know what he's talking about right now. You know, how long is he going to go? It's Mother's Day, you know. And we have all these ways. I mean, don't we? We come and we sit and our little brain is constantly evaluating. And then we'll decide on the way home if we got much out of it. I didn't get that much out of it. But how many people on the way home today will go, you know, I'm just disappointed. I didn't put that much into it. You see, we serve to build the body. The reason each of us needs to be thinking about what is my part and what should I do is because the purpose Christ has given us, the ability to do things, is to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church. And so I need to ask myself, what work am I doing to make my church stronger and better? Does that make sense? You know, with good reason, one of the things that Christians tell themselves over and over is this. They'll say, you know, it's not just about you. The church isn't a country club, you know. It's not just about coming and enjoying each other. It's not just about taking care of each other. We need to get the gospel past the walls and go into all the world. That's right. I get it. I got some sermons like that. But let me tell you something. A church that doesn't take care of itself doesn't have much to take to the world. That's the truth. You don't get excited about sharing the gospel unless you're living it in community. Where do you experience the gospel lived out? Is in community. The gospel needs to be lived here first, or we have nothing to take into the world. We know the Great Commission. Go into all the world. But do you see this? Build yourselves up in love. That's a commission too. It's a commission. By the grace of God, the grace Christ has apportioned to us, we are called to build each other up in love. And so I ask myself, how am I building up others in my church? How am I making Valley better? Some of you know that a mentor, a friend of mine, I call him a friend because I met him a few times, and he would know me from Adam, but I've read his books and quoted him so many times, I usually refer to him as Uncle Dallas Willard. He passed away this past week. Great teacher, great writer. And one of the things I was reminded of as I was preparing this sermon, because I had a lot of Dallas Willard running through my head this week, I remember toward the end of his book, The Divine Conspiracy, Dallas Willard says something that was, I heard him say this at a conference one time, and Dallas had a way of saying things that it went off in a direction you didn't expect, and then he'd just pause and smile at you, and then he'd say, let me say that again, because he could tell we were going, huh? You know, like the time he said, God's will for your life is that you be so transformed into the image of Christ that you can do what you want. And we all looked at it like, you mean what God wants? No, let me say that again. God wants to transform you so much that the things you want are the things that you'll be able to do. Another thing he said to a group of pastors, and this one, because of this, take the church to the, you know, take the gospel to the world. This one, I watched him, it looked like he just slapped him. He said, generally speaking, brothers and sisters, pastors are far too concerned about the people who don't attend their church. You know, and everybody there is like, well, I'm supposed to care about the world, right? And Willard said this. To take care of the people inside your church, and you won't have any trouble with the gospel going all over the place. But don't take care of the people in your church, and you can talk about taking the gospel all day long, and it's not going to happen. He said, generally speaking, if pastors and churches and the people who lead churches would focus on, we have to build each other up in love and be real and experience the gospel. Generally speaking, if we would do that, you couldn't contain the gospel in your church. And so we have to say, building each other up in love, it's actually foundational to anything missional. You cannot share something you are not growing in. And so we need to build each other up, and we need to equip each other. You notice that in those same verses where in verse 11 he says, you know, he mentions some roles here like evangelists, apostles, prophets, you know. Those are areas of service, okay? And what do those areas of service do? Verse 12, they equip people for service. Do you see this little feedback loop going on? Why do you serve? In order to help people serve. That part of what we do as a church family is not just serve, we build servants. That if I'm in a relationship with you, you're helping me get better at doing. And I'm helping you get better at doing. You know, the goal of church is not to, let's hope we grow enough that we can hire a bunch of people that can, you know, kind of put on programs for us. No, that's not a body. That's a big blob on life support. A body is alive and doing what the head wants it to do. In other words, we strengthen each other. It's sort of like if you... like this morning, I saw Scott Nutter here, and he runs a gym. And I was thinking, you know, I've been to that gym before, and the people that go to the gym all the time, maybe they went there and they thought, if I go here, I'll get fit and I'll get strong and I'll build my body. But you know what happens after they show up there? Once they start growing, guess what happens? They end up spotting for somebody else. And they end up showing somebody else how to do that piece of equipment. And next thing you know, the person that came in there to gain strength is actually a person helping somebody else get strong. So that they can in turn help somebody else get strong. The feedback loop of service that we want in our church is something we have to make happen. And so I ask myself, how can I help others find their place of service and to help others become more able and ready to serve? I'm constantly trying to prompt people into service. You should do the same. Some of you say, yeah, quit looking at me. You already got me doing two things I didn't want to do. You know? Haven't you heard that all the time? Like, sometimes I'll know somebody here at church and I'll think, you know, you'd be great. Have you ever thought about doing that? I couldn't do that. I don't have the gift of doing uncomfortable things. I don't have the gift of discomfort, you know? But I'll say, you know, I think you could do it. Give it a try. And sometimes people find they can do it by God's grace. And with encouragement from their brothers and sisters, they can do it. People teaching a class, helping kids, working with a youth camp, giving a communion meditation, building a ramp at somebody's house, you know, serving a meal. There's so many things you can do. And one of the things we need to do as a church is help each other get out of our lazy boy recliner chair sort of Christianity. You know, it's like, oh yes, there's that comfortable old chair church. Somebody hand me the remote. Good, you know. That's enough, Dave. Good. Yeah. You know, Jesus isn't passing out recliner chairs. He's calling you to pick up a cross, which are not known for their comfort quality. Right? We stretch. We go. What did Jerry say at the communion table today? In that text, he talked about Christ Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. You know, when I come to church and you say, well, Dave, it's your job. You have to go to church. Well, whether you're on the church staff or not, everybody in church, everybody in the body, we don't come merely to be served. You're missing church if you just come to be served. And tell you the truth, that's not even where the fulfillment is. The greatest fulfillment is when through the service of others, you've been stretched and gifted and pushed and prompted and stretched and built and equipped so that you find your place, and that's where the joy is. It's in the doing. And so when you come, how many of you, and this is a rhetorical, so please don't raise your hand or stand at this time or speak, but I doubt if on the way to church this morning, that many of us thought, I'm really looking forward to seeing such and such so I can push them and prompt them a little bit. Or so I can help them do a better job. You know, some of you who like maybe have a responsibility, instead of just doing your responsibility, how about calling somebody to join you in that responsibility? Say, hey, I've been doing this and I think there's some other people that can do it too. And I may not be able to do this forever. Maybe you could come help me do it. So our job is not just to find our place, but our job is to what? Equip each other. Let me show you how to do this. Let me help you stretch. Let me help you become. Each of us comes to church not only to do our part, but to help others grow and to do their part as well. And why do we do it? We do it to show God's grace. This first number up there should be a 2, not a 4. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10, we read these words. Because of God's great love for us, this God who is rich in mercy, He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. There we go. What is God doing? He's lifting us up out of the muck and mire of sin and transgression, right? Out of our deadness. And in His great grace and mercy, he's lifting us up. He's saving us. And he's not just saving us from something. He's saving us towards something, right? Follow along. It's verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's a pretty good seat, right? He lifts you up and says, hey, you sit here with me. You sit here in Christ. And he says, he does this for a purpose. See those words, in order that? He's not just saving you from something, he's saving you towards something. He's saving us in order that in the coming ages, God might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Do you know what happens when a church becomes what God's called it to be? When we speak the truth in love, when we equip each other, when we take care of each other, when we become true to one another. Do you know what that is? That is a picture of God's grace. That kind of unity, that kind of grace, that kind of mutual building up, that is not something that we see in the world apart from God's grace. And so when it's actually happening, people go, these folks don't look smart enough to pull this off. And we say, we're not. It's God's grace. Our fuel tank is filled and we are burning God's grace to become the church he wants us to be. And you can't burn the fuel of God's grace unless you're doing something. You make it happen. You get up, you take off, you say, God has gifted me, grace is there. It's time to show the world what God's grace can do. And in verse 8, he says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. There's that grace thing, but here's the doing thing. For we are God's workmanship, God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so I ask myself, if somebody looked at me and looked at what I'm committing myself to and what I'm doing in the life of my church, would it be apparent at all that God's grace is making a difference in that? Is my life, is my church a picture of what God can do? Now, I've told you before, and about a friend of mine named Jim. We both grew up going to Bible college when we were little tiny kids because our dads were Bible college professors. And Bible college professors in a small Christian school are kind of like cousins. We're the ones getting in trouble on the back of all those events going on for the college kids. We're the ones running up and down the hall before class got out. We're the ones playing with matches behind the administration building. We're the ones getting in trouble. And we're usually, by the time we get to college age, the ones getting kicked out, which happened. Yeah. But one thing I never thought when I was a kid, you know, it was such a community and so permeated with faith. I have to say that as a kid, I never once as a child thought about the day when some of my Bible college cousins wouldn't believe anymore. But that happened. Not every kid stays a believer. And one of them, and I haven't seen him for years, but my friend Jim, he actually, when he was going through his crisis of faith in his 20s, he said to me, I just don't see anything happening at church that couldn't happen anywhere. There were some nice people. I just don't see where God has to be part of that. And you know, I think we have to be careful of that here at Valley. Because we could look at a long list of things and say, look at all the nice things. Look at all the good things. Look at all the wonderful programs. We can look at all that stuff. But we have to ask ourselves, which of these things wouldn't happen apart from God's grace? Because the reason we do this stuff is not so to be a window into our niceness or our goodness or our morality or our values. The reason we do it is so that people can actually see, oh, look, God's there. God's at work. We serve to build up the church. We serve to stretch and help each other grow. And we do that because we want God's grace to be visible to the world around us. We're saved by grace. We're gifted by grace to equip and build up each other to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do, in order that His glorious grace would be believable. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the word. We pray, O God, that you would be at work in our lives, that we would become your handiwork, that you would be transforming us, shaping us, changing us, strengthening us, gracing us, so that we might find our place, that we might provoke and prod and spur one another on toward love and good deeds, so that ultimately Jesus would be believable. Help us to do our part and to make that happen. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you all.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.